Perfect. stories of why they think you're like, and I've heard a tender whisper of love in the dead of night. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Thank you. last. You paid the price for my sin, and now I can walk in freedom. Yeah. My life is in your hands. In my plans, you paid the price for my sin, and now I'm adopted.
This worship team, you just give them a big hand clap. Honor where honor is due. I love that they lead in worship. They don't just lead in playing music and singing music, they lead in worship. Running, walking, moving room of God. I'm testing you, Scott. I'm waiting for that line. That's it right there. That's good. Okay. Hey, man, I have missed you guys. I have grown sick of preaching to an iPhone. iPhone doesn't amen. I've seen, the comments and stuff like that. Thankfully, I think my wife fixed my phone, so I'm so... have ADD so bad that those little comments would distract me. So we got rid of that. But I was watching somebody preach on television, and I think we've got a good setup here. We've got a little social distancing section. We've got bring your own chairs. We've got park and listen. So all the options are there. And if you like Harleys, we've got those too. So thank God for Harleys, right? We got a bunch of amens in the room on that in our church. But if you got your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 13. I've been preaching. I see right now that the wind is going to be a challenge. And it's all good. Bear with me. This is little different. I've been preaching about the presence of God and what we're going to do to make sure that as we come back, I'm just going to say this. If you've ever had a New Year's resolution that failed, this is way better than any resolution. You've got an incredible opportunity for restart right now. Basically, anything. This is going to be etched in history. A pandemic. Worldwide pandemic. We can go anywhere from here, because this will be, wherever we go, this will be etched in time. This will be a moment in time. So I'm going to come out of this thing better. I actually went into this thing wondering when we come out, because I believe we were going to come out. I was like, God, how are we going to come out? How am I going to come out as a person? And how are we going to come out as a people? And I've seen so many reports of people having Bible studies at home, worshiping with their families at home, doing things that at some point maybe we slipped away from some, but realizing the value of what got stripped away. And we all realized what got stripped away. So many things got stripped away. I never thought that the United States would have its entertainment stripped away. Did you? Could you believe it? I couldn't believe it. Even our vanities were stripped away. We were down to the next new word, the bare essentials. We're down to the bare essentials. And I'm going to call for that in just a few minutes, but not yet. The bare essentials is what we're down to. But the bare essentials in my life, Jesus Christ. And it's His blood, amen? It's okay to amen out here. Nobody will hear you. If you amen out past the two Honda generators in the highway, we probably have to tell you to settle down a little bit. But anyway, the presence of God is so important, and we've got to have it. And I realize now more than ever what Moses meant whenever he said, if we don't have your presence, God, what will distinguish us from any other people? I've got to have the presence of God. I walked into the church this morning. I happened to be the first one here, and I was turning on the lights, because when I come into a dark place, that's the first thing I do is start turning on lights. And, you know, we've got fluorescent lights. Most of our lights in the church are fluorescent lights, and they run off of ballast. And there's a little bit of a warm-up process that takes place. They may flicker and flutter. You may have to even throw the power to them, throw the switch a few times for them all to turn on. And as I did that, I realized, man, it's dark in here still. What's going on? I turned on all the lights. And I'm telling you, it wasn't until I turned on the last group of lights that I realized, I got the revelation. Oh, I've still got my sunglasses on. I mean, that literally happened. That's a true story. But perspective changed. And I started seeing the things the right way when I got rid of what was changing my perspective. And I believe I'm going to come out of this with a whole new perspective and a whole new way to look at things. And I'm actually looking forward by looking back. So many things that happen now, they feel like a new thing, but they're just an old thing on replay. The Bible says that. It says there's nothing new under the sun. As a matter of fact, what it's saying is that we've been here before. We've been here before. This has happened before. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 13, this is just the most interesting story to me. The background, and I hope you've been able to tune in. We've added services. We've had our regular Sunday morning 11 service online. But we actually added a Wednesday night Bible study, all but one Wednesday night, because I had a church emergency come up. And then a Thursday morning Bible study for ladies that I've actually joined into whenever I could. It was really, really, really good. And so we've tried to add. We've actually, on Friday nights, some of the Friday nights, we've had Zoom meetings for children. Zoom meetings, what's that all about? Isn't that new and interesting and kind of cool? But this is my favorite meeting, is us joining together. Have I missed you guys? Yes, and I can't even describe how much. But you can get used to something and it get taken away and you realize how much it meant to you once it's gone. It can happen with your health. It can happen with a family member. It can happen with the ability to gather. this is a privilege. This is amazing. There are places that still could never do that. There's never do this. There are states right now that can't do what we're doing. Just 3 miles down the line, North Carolina, state line. Different set of rules in North Carolina than there are in South Carolina. And things will get back to normal. I believe that they're going to get back to whatever the new normal is. And I'm very thankful for this opportunity. But what I'm saying is, I am saddened sometimes when I realize that I took something for granted. And at the very beginning of all this, I was listening to one of the men that has an incredible impact on my life. I don't get to talk to him very much, but I tune into him when I can. He's not over me, but he's a man that I've sought out, and I believe I take him as a spiritual father. His words are always very powerful. But someone in his church, he has a very large church, someone in his church said, "Pastor, do you believe that this is the end of times?" And he said, "Well, I don't know that I believe it's the end of times, but I do believe and I do hope that it's the end of church in our image." Church in our image. What that means is church that satisfies me. Church that means more to me than it means to God. When I'm more concerned about getting the presence of people than I am the presence of God. Because I've learned that the presence of God is the most powerful thing that you can have. And I want the power of God. Don't you want the power of God? But let me give you the little key to that. If you get the presence of God, you get His power. I want His presence. Because if I get His presence, I get His power. I can tap into Him. And you don't get God in fragments. You can give me something in measurements. You can pour me a drink of something in 4 ounces, 8 ounces, 44 ounces, you know, a gallon. But when you get God, He's never fractionated. You get God, you get all of God. And I want Him, and I want Him in His fullness. And the Ark of God represented the presence of God. I've preached on this the last 2 weeks, but I've got to preach it in public because God gave me this. This is how we're coming back into this. After the power and the presence of God. And the presence of God that was housed in the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of God, it had been lost. It had been captured. Talk about someone taking away your religious freedoms. They had taken away more than religious freedoms. They had taken the presence of God. The Philistine people had taken the presence of God, and they didn't even know what to do with it. They just knew that every time they came against the Israelites, they had this box. They had this power, and this power came out of this box, and they figured it out. If we can get that box. Let me warn you something about your enemy. Sometimes your enemy knows what your power is better than you do. You think about how your enemy attacks you. You think about what he comes after. You think about what he will try to pull away from you, and you find yourself negotiating away from it, and you start giving up territory and territory and territory till all of a sudden the enemy's got something that used to be yours. Well, I'm telling you, when it comes to the presence of God, I have established an issue of worship in my house that I will not move and I will not get out of the way. And the presence of God is the most powerful thing that I've got. It's the most powerful thing that I've got when we're in that building. It's the most powerful thing that I've got when I'm in my car. It's the most powerful thing I've got in my home. And it's the most powerful thing that I'll ever have in public. Bar none, the presence of God is the most important thing that we can have. Amen. So, 1 Chronicles chapter 13, this is what was going on, and David had had enough of it. It says, "Then David consulted the captains of thousands and hundreds, and with every leader, and David said to all the assembly of Israel, 'If it seems good to you, and if it is the Lord our God, if it is of the Lord our God, let us send out to our brethren everywhere, who are left in all the land of Israel, and with them to the priests and Levites who are in their cities that and their common lands, that they may gather together to us, and let us bring the ark of our God back to us. For we have not inquired at it since the days of Saul." And David is making a profound statement right here. And he's calling the presence of God. He said, I know where it's at, and I know that we're going to get it. Because they had actually, this is what happened. This is how the enemy stole the presence. He stole the ark with the Philistines. The Philistines had the ark of God, but then they didn't know what to do with it. And the ark of God, they put it by their god, Dagon. And you read that story in 1 Samuel, and it's incredible. It's amazing how that God, the power of God, overtook that island, ultimately broke it into pieces. And they said, we don't know what to do with this thing. Get it out of the camp. And they put it on a cart, and they headed the oxen in a way, and there was two ways that the oxen could go. And they knew if it went this certain way, that it was God that was doing the driving of it. And if it went the other way, then it was chance. And of course, it went the way that God wanted it to go. So here is David. This it was set at a place of Kirith Jearim. And David said, we got to go there and get it back. And all the people were down with it. They said, yeah, let's go get it back. He surveyed everybody everywhere in the land, and everybody said, let's go get it back. And David said, we're going to go get the presence of God, and we're going to bring him back. And everybody agreed, and everybody was in on it. Verse 3, let us bring the ark of our God back to us, for we have not inquired at it since the days of Saul. We've not inquired at it. David was a man that went to war. And before he went to war, he would inquire of God. And there are times when David would go inquire to God, God, if we go into this battle, will we win? Have you ever prayed before you go into a situation? Have you ever prayed before you go into a doctor's office? Have you ever prayed before you go into HR? Have you ever prayed before you met with your boss? Have you ever prayed before you had a family meeting or met with your wife privately? Well, David sought the Lord first. He sought God first. But see, there's a scripture that goes with that that supersedes that. I know that we say, here's the order, God first. I believe this is a biblical order. God first, then my family, and then my church. But we cannot get things jacked up out of that either. Because with God first, he's first, Colossians 1:17 says he's before all things, and in him all things hold together. If I want my church to hold together, God has to be first. If I want my family to hold together, God has to be first. If God's not first, the Bible calls it, he's the one that makes everything hold together. It's like the egg part of a cake. It's the consistency portion. If he's first, if he's ingredient number one, he is what holds it together. So if you got things that are breaking up that should not be breaking up, my question is he first? Because he's the thing that holds it together. And if he's not first, no wonder it's falling apart. Okay? So with that, David inquired of the Lord. He went to God first. So there's a scripture that says this. You will worship the Lord your God, and him only will you serve. See, God is not just first. He's an only. Because if there's a line, God's not in it. He's only. He's the Lord God all by himself. Other things line up behind him, but there's a line. You understand what I'm saying? God's not in that line. He's an only God. David said, worship the Lord your God, and him only will we serve. So this is what the scripture says, that he inquired of God. And there came this time when David inquired before a battle. And he asked God, will we go into battle? And God said, yes, you will go into battle. He said, will we overcome? Will we be victorious? And David said, and God said, yes, you'll be victorious. How would you like to get that kind of word from God when you were going in to ask for a raise? God, will I get this raise? Oh, you will get this raise. Then I'd have my next question. How much should I ask for? Then I'd start taking liberties with it. But yes, they went into battle and they were victorious. Why were they victorious? Because they could fight good, because they were bigger than the other people? No, time after time, you saw God move, and because it was God, it didn't matter how big the opponent was. Let's look at David and Goliath. Didn't matter how big they were, God was going to be proven out of this thing. There are actually times when as David found out how many warriors he had available, that thing started looking like, they can probably, it's getting pretty evenly matched here. And God would look at it and say, David, all y'all ain't going. Start trimming them off by the thousands and by the tens of thousands and get down to a few hundred. Now it looks like it's going to be me that wins. You understand what I'm saying? See, we get real nervous when it seems like things aren't in our favor. If God be for us, who can be against us? I didn't come up with that on my own. That's scripture, okay? So David defeats this army. Why? Because God said he would defeat it. And then David does something so interesting to me. David goes back to God about the enemy that he just beat, because he beat them, and then this beaten group of people begin to rally, and they say, we're going to give it another shot. We're going to get up, and we're going to come at you again. And David inquires of God. There's something to that. Why would he do that? Why would he inquire to God about an enemy that has rebounded and decided to come fight him again? But I just beat you, but here you come again. So let me inquire of God. God, will we win if we fight this? Even though we just beat them and they're weakened, they are rallying and they come back to me and they want to fight again. But David is wise and he goes back and he inquires of God. Why? Most of us would just assume, if we just got through beating you, certainly we can beat you again, right? I mean, I was never one of those people that got in fights at school, but David Morgan probably was. I'm just kidding. Unfortunately, I was one of those people. But I always felt like if I beat you one time, from that point on, all I got to do is just look at you like, you know? And if we got to this point, you know, start giving them that. Why? Because we get more bold the more we realize we can do what we did, right? Do you understand that if that were me and I had won this awesome defeat, I would feel like I pretty much got you whipped. But David did not do that. David went back to God and he inquired of God. Why? I'm going to tell you. I'm glad you asked. David inquired of God because it's all about, worship is all about, please hear me right here. Worship is all about who you acknowledge. It's all about who you acknowledge. And David acknowledged God in the first battle. And then when they rallied again, God went back and acknowledged God again in the second battle, and he was victorious. And that's how we are to be victorious. But David's setting this story up. He said, when the presence of God actually went away, it went away for 20 years. Set the house of Abinadab. And David said, we're going to get it. We're going to go get the presence of God, because we have not inquired at it since the days of Saul. So you understand what I'm saying? David says, we have not acknowledged God. What does it say in Proverbs? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. Who you acknowledge is who you worship. Acknowledgement, worship is who gets acknowledged. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. So David said this, verse 4. Then all the assembly said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of the people. So David gathered all Israel together and to bring the ark of God from Kirith Jearim. And David and all Israel went up to Bala. And I'm skipping through some of this. They went up, and there was the ark of God, of the Lord, who dwells between the cherubim, where his name is proclaimed. And here's why. So they carried the ark of God on a new cart from the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drove the cart. Then David and all Israel played music before God with all their might, with singing on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on cymbals, and with trumpets. And when they came to Chidon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and he struck him because he put his hand to the ark, and he died there before God. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah. Therefore that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of God, and he said this, "How can I bring the ark of God to me?" This was his question for God. So David would not move the ark with him into the city of David, but took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. The ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months, and the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. This is especially important right here, what happened. David, you understand that David was the psalmist. David was the songwriter. Think of who your favorite Christian artist was. It'd be like having them right here. Mine is Ryan Morgan and Christine Morgan and all these people that sing up here. That's my favorite. It'd be like me today getting to enjoy what I get to enjoy. But they had the very best of song selections. They had the very best, and they had it loud, and they had it wide open, and these instruments were playing as loud as they could. And all of a sudden, you got the ark loaded on this cart, and these animals are pulling the ark. Dumb animals. Animals that did not know the power of God. Animals that were out of place. They had a purpose. They had these oxen. They had been given as a gift. And in the duties, when the duties were ascribed and certain people were giving, certain tribes were given certain duties, some were given these arks, these carts with these yokes of oxen attached to them. So they were given certain duties. But you read back and you'll find where the scripture said, but the ark of God will not be carried except by men. It said, even in the instructions, when they made the ark of God, he said, when you make it, you put these rings on the outside of it. You know, those of you, I've got a wedding band on right now. That ring, if you've been to a wedding and heard it described as that ring represents an eternal bond. There's no beginning. There's no end to it. It goes on and on and on. And it's a symbolic thing of my love for my wife. Well, God said, we're going to put rings on the end of this cart. And those rings will be there for these staves. So forget about the end of that. This is my walking stick. I just think it's kind of cool. Brent called me Rafiki. Old Brent trying to fire back. But so they had the ark. And they had these rings, and they would put these staves through the rings, and there would be one back here. Here's the ark. And the Levite's job was to carry the weight of the ark, because the ark was the presence of God. It was the presence of God, and they had seen the presence of God before, but they lost the presence of God. Let me tell you something about the presence of God. Let me tell you about church in general. Let me tell you about believers in general. We do not have the presence of God because God is omnipresent. But we don't have a monopoly on God's presence because He's omnipresent. His very omnipresence means everybody gets that. Omni. All, everybody gets to enjoy the omnipresence of God. That's not what separates us. That's not what makes us distinction from other people. And just because Christians have a good moral code, like we live a good life, we do things, we are good to help people. We've got a ministry right here that we're a part of, that even through all of this, that ministry has been able to help feed people in Charlotte. I mean, some of you, I've heard so many good reports of you guys doing good things. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not preaching against that. I'm preaching for it. But that right there, a good moral code does not separate us from anybody else. Other religions have good moral codes. You see what I'm saying? Now, this one's going to blow your mind. We do not have the presence of God active in our life just because we've got a holy book. Because other religions have a holy book. But what separates us from everybody else is the Shekinah glory of God. And God set it up that when we come together and we worship Him, He's right there in the midst of it. And that is the presence of God that we enjoy. And we enjoy it when we're in that building. And we enjoy it when we're in our vehicles. And we enjoy it when we're at home. And when we're anywhere we're at, we enjoy the presence of God because of His glory that is active in our life. Because we worship Him only. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, the ark of God has been touched by Uzzah. And Uzzah was one of Abinadab's son, and the ark of God had been in his house for 20 years, and I believe that he got comfortable with it. But we've got the ark on animals, and animals cannot reason with the power that's on them. And see, if I have the presence of God living in my life, and I'm carrying the presence of God, God is a moving God. And I can recognize when God wants to stop and do this, or God wants to stop and do that. And there came a place, they got to a threshing floor. A threshing floor was where a place of production took place. And God recognizes those places in our life. And God wants to know, can I move there? Will I move there? And the animals stopped. And the ark of God moved. And Uzzah put his hand to it. And he was struck dead. And all of a sudden, it did not matter that David was singing with all of his might. It did not matter how good the worship service was. What mattered is that the ark of God had been compromised, because instead of obedience, disobedience is what had taken place. And this is what I'm talking about. My guys that I ask you, if you guys will go do that, Cam, if you'll come. We've got some things figured out. We've got some things figured out. And we've got to be very careful that we keep and house the presence of God. Because in our endeavor to make church not just comfortable, not just cool, not just relevant, we've added everything that we can to make it an attraction, to make it something of awe and wonder. Let me tell you about those animals. Just hold your place, guys. Those animals, they did not have the ability to perceive and grasp what awe and wonder is. There have never been two cows in a field that butted up against each other and said, what a sunset. They don't have that ability. There's never been a monkey that climbed up to the top of a tree and overlooked a waterfall and cascading falls and said to another monkey, do you see that? Can you believe that? Because they don't have that ability. But people have been created, and you're the only ones that have been created with the ability to grasp the awe and the wonder of Almighty God and His creation. And He has created you to worship Him. But He won't substitute it out. Why is it that we think that lights matter. I remember when I was in college, I went to see this group sing in Columbia, South Carolina. I won't mention them because they were rocking. And I was reeling at the time. And they told us, hey, they got the most incredible light show. But I've seen better light shows in church than what I saw there. And we got smokes and mirror. We got everything that appeals to senses. But what if we appeal to a sense in a human, but we did not appeal to a God? And we changed the thing out and we traded it out. And God will not be traded out. It's not that there's something wrong with lights. It's not. But if it takes the place and all we're doing is appealing to senses, then we have forgotten about the God who is still holy. Amen. And still wants our worship. To worship Him and Him only. I mean, think about this. Even a light itself. I don't care how great you make the light show. God with a sentence said, let there be light. There's nothing I can give Him in that department or any other department that is going to impress Him except for my original worship from my own heart. So we have learned to appeal to senses so much that I imagine they put the Ark of God on a cart and they wheeled Him in. And He moved for them, and they wheeled Him out. A little bit faster. And God did it one time, so they said, next time, let's wheel Him in. And everybody got blessed. Y'all get blessed for a second. And they wheel Him out. We've even got to the point where we've gotten a little bit braggy. My daughter, Kenzie, when she was about 6 years old, she was in kindergarten. And she loved this little dress. She got it at a yard sale. And she went to school the next day. And she said, Mom and Dad, she said, my teacher asked me about my dress. And she said, oh, Kenzie, you look so beautiful today. Where did you get that little dress from? She said, I told her I got it in a yard sale, and I said it kind of braggy. I said, you go, girl. You go, girl. But we figured the thing out so much that we figured our services out, and to accommodate people, one of our bragging points now is that we can get you into a service, and we can get you out of a service. And even Ryan, we told him last night, or told him earlier this week when we decided he was going to lead the worship. Ryan, we need 3 songs. But he came to me this morning. He said, Pastor, what if I feel something go a little longer? I said, go a little longer. Because we just got something to house it. But I've started looking for moments with God. If it happens in the first song, I'm going to roll with it. Because I'm going to carry the presence and I'm going to hold on to it. And we can't ever get to a place where we wheel Him in and everybody gets blessed and we wheel Him out. Thank you. Because here's the thing. God's not going to get played like that. God is not going to be our entertainment. Do you hear me? God is not going to be up to our discretion, up to our moments, up to our prepared things. And even though I prepared that, it was for a reason. I said, Brother Cam, can you hit me with a couple of chords? And he did a great job. Y'all give him a hand. I'm thankful for these guys. But there was this guy, Obed-Edom, where the Ark of God rested for a period of 3 months. Can you imagine being Obed-Edom? Can you imagine after all this happened and David's frustrated and he's calling out to God saying, God, how can I get your presence? And you tell me how I can get your presence back. And while he's trying to figure it out, he says, Obed-Edom, by the way, we're going to put the Ark of God in your house. How much of you, How many of you would love God enough to say, you just got through killing somebody with your presence? Yeah, set it up at the house. Set it at the back door. But that wasn't who Obed-Edom was, because it was Obed-Edom's opportunity to worship. If it cost him everything, if he died, he was going to worship God. And it said that he was blessed in his whole house for a period of 3 months. And in that time, David figured it out. You read the next chapter, you'll figure out where God showed David, you messed up, David. You got the order wrong. I told you plainly in my word that I will never, ever be carried on a cart. Even when the carts were assigned, God said this: do not use my carts for the holy things. There are the holy things of God. They will be, you won't even touch them. You won't even touch that ark. You will put staves through the rings. Why? Because I want my priest to always feel the weight of God, the Shekinah glory of God. And that's what's going to move us forward. And that's where we got to be. And I will not settle for anything else or anything less, because anything else is a false finish line. Say false finish line in your life. You need to get that term in your life. You need to get that false finish line. I will not settle for a false finish line in my life. And right now, it's more important than ever for you to establish the issue of worship in your life more than any time you could ever imagine. When David went back this time, he lined the people up and he got them in proper order, and he got those Levites into the position they needed to be, and they would carry the Ark of God from that point on. And listen with this. If you read that chapter, you'll find out, well, what happened to Obed-Edom? You ever watched a movie and it was a good movie up to a certain point? They got to the end, you're like, I just watched the whole movie and yet I don't know what happened to Joe. Well, with this scripture right here, I would want to know what happened to Obed-Edom. And it said this about Obed-Edom: and Obed-Edom became a doorkeeper in the house of God. Almighty. Can I tell you how important that is? The doorkeeper in the house of God. He was the one who stood at the threshold, and they had it on a system, and the Ark of God from that point was never, never left unguarded again. Obed-Edom became a doorkeeper. A doorkeeper was one that stood guard at the threshold where they housed the Ark of God. And at that threshold, only the holy could go past. The common could come up to this point, but it could go no further. That's how it has to be now. We got to be able to separate the holy things from the common things. And it comes down to us. And Obed-Edom, who better to be one of the guards for that? Who better than Obed-Edom, who would come and say, I love the presence of God. I know how to guard the presence of God. I was there and I saw when it got jacked up, and it will never happen again like that, because I'm going to keep the presence of God holy. I'm going to close with this. We live in a day where Walker, bring me my cell phone right there, buddy, please. Walker, let me just say, go on record saying, you got an incredible hairdo. And you got it from me, because your mother still has hers. Everybody's got one of these. And this is what, if you do anything nowadays, you better be ready to stand by it. Because there's going to be somebody right here. Just wait. And if you get it used to be if somebody got beat up by somebody, they'd jump in and help the person that was getting beat up out. Now the person's getting beat up and they knock them down, and then they're like, and then they kick them to the curb, and they zooming it in. Oh man, he killing him. And I mean, you better be ready to stand by anything, because you're going on record. And you know who's got this more than anybody? And you know who, listen to me, you know who knows how to work this better than you do? Your kids. Your children. You know what we were raised with? typewriters and phones with cords on them, pigtails. And I remember going to somebody's house, I thought, they rich. They had one of them pigtail cords that was about 20 feet long wrapped up. They could go anywhere in the house and be on the phone. And I thought, man, they're rich. It was awesome. But now they all got one of these and let anything, and it doesn't even have to be a significance. Let something small happen. Yeah, let me just tell you, I think all phones are like this. The first thing I do when I turn it on, the option's right there. It can be the first thing. I don't even have to put in a passcode. It can be the first thing that I hit, and next thing I know, I got you. I got you. And I've seen kids pull these things out and record. And I'm not mad at them about it. I figured something out about it. You know what it means to me? They're watching. They're watching. There's something that they want to see. They want to be the first one to post it. They want to be the first one to go viral that everybody saw. Well, you're the one that I was first. I was there. They're watching. That might be the two most powerful words I've said to you all day today. Those of you that have kids, they're watching. Who are they watching? You. You know what needs to be settled in your home? The issue of worship. You know what your kids need to see? As much as anything you can share with them, they need to see your worship. Not as a display for them, on display before God. Your worship. Your worship matters. Your worship matters. And we've got to settle the issue of worship. I'm going to ask the team to come back up. It's got to be settled. The issue of my worship, it's settled. This is not a New Year's resolution. I started off the year like every other pastor. I preached on a resolution. And I gave you this definition. A resolution is a strong decision to do something. You know, I've decided to do something. But now that I've made a resolution, now it's not just a decision to do something. It's a strong decision to do something. And most resolutions are broken within a couple weeks. You know, a month at the best. I'm not talking about a resolution in your life. I'm talking about a revolution in your life. If it comes to worship and you get the issue of worship settled in your life because your kids are watching and you know what they want to report? They want to report. They want to see something that happened. Let me tell you this. They'll never report anything if nothing ever happens. They'll never have a memory of anything unless something happens. Our whole nation has been shut down. The whole world has been shut down. You know what's resurrected in my house? Worship. I guarantee you this, not because I'm the pastor, but my son will grow up and look back at this time and say, we worshiped. He led. We went to bed every night, closing it out with God. We broke His word open. It's the most powerful thing that you can do. And all you got to do is settle it. Yeah, you're going to have to fight for that time. Let me just tell you, if this is the only place that you worship between the hours of 11 o'clock and 1:30, 2:30, you know, that preaching, he's kind of long-winded. But if that's the only time you worship, I'm afraid of you. I'm afraid for you. This is a suggestion. That's actually what you do here. If you have a hard time worshiping here, it's probably because you didn't have any time worshiping there. But what you'll do in private, publicly, will be on display. That's God's word. What He sees you do in private, He'll put on display publicly. It's true, it's His word. And somebody's going to worship Him. I believe it's going to be you. And I know this for a fact. This is your opportunity to worship God. Will you stand right now? I just want to take it right now. I mean, for this time right here, I just want this to be your time of worship with God right now. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.